Real talk. Sometimes life throws decisions our way that feel impossible to navigate. That's where a little guidance can make all the difference. At Psychic Source, our trusted psychics go beyond basic predictions. They provide real insight, helping you understand your situation, see your options clearly, and take confident next steps. Your reading is always private and judgment-free, so whether you're facing a crossroads in love, career, or life's bigger questions, you'll get honest, compassionate advice in a safe space. And the best part? Our psychics are available 24/7 by phone, chat, or video, whenever you need them. Plus, we stand by our readings. If you're not satisfied, it's free. Because when you have greater wisdom, you can create a better outcome. Ready to take control of your future? Get a reading for just 83 cents per minute, plus 3 minutes free. Visit PsychicSource.com and use promo code HELLO to get started. Psychic Source. Insight when you need it most.
Let's talk about Karen Reed and play you some audio from some recent testimony in the case. Last week, a dramatic climax on Friday when defense attorney Alan Jackson accused Brian Higgins of discarding his phone and SIM card during the investigation of John O'Keefe's death, and that is not correct. Higgins firmly responded to Jackson's allegation. Judge Beverly Cano promptly ended the session without allowing further questions. Higgins is one of three individuals Karen Reed's lawyers have named in their theory that someone other than Reed is responsible for O'Keefe's death. Nothing like, you know, calling people who are very likely innocent murderers. Earlier in the session, Higgins admitted to exchanging flirtatious texts and sharing a kiss with Reed while she was dating O'Keefe. During cross-examination, Jackson scrutinized Higgins' actions and phone records in the critical hours following O'Keefe's death. Higgins confirmed seeking advice about phone data extraction from a friend of the FBI's regional computer forensics lab. I asked him how I could pull text strings off my cellular telephone for the purpose of providing them to law enforcement, Higgins testified, acknowledging that he could have handed over the entire device to police. Let's take a listen to that testimony. Here we go.
Following sort of the substance of that interview, what, if anything, did you provide the troopers with?
I provided them with text messages that I had exchanged and had on my phone with John O'Keefe, and text messages that I had exchanged with the defendant.
And how did you, in what sort of format did you provide those text messages to the troopers?
Well, they were copies, and I believe that the format would be, the way to categorize it, screenshots.
And how is it that you sort of generated these from your phone?
I consulted a coworker, who's also a friend, and he has the training with the cell phones. I told him I wanted to provide these to the state police. You know, what is the best way that I can get them off my phone and provide them to law enforcement?
And why was it that you felt it was important, or why is it that you wanted to share those with the troopers?
Well, I thought it was important because I've had communication with the both of them, and I wanted to be fully transparent.
Now, with reference to either or both of those communications with Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, the material that you provided to the troopers, if anything, did you do to that material before giving it to you?
Nothing.
So as far as the material or the text that you provided to the troopers, that was what was on your phone?
Yes.
So there was no deletions, no excising any material, nothing like that before you gave it to the troopers?
No. Exactly what was on my phone, I provided to them.
And specifically, as you were providing it to him or shortly thereafter, did you have a conversation with Sergeant Buchanan in reference to that very topic, if you recall?
No, I don't recall.
Do you recall him asking you anything about as far as if this was the entirety of what you had provided?
Oh, so I think during the actual interview, He specifically asked me these, I would say in sum and substance, he said, you know, is this an accurate representation? Has anything been deleted? And I said, no. I mean, as with respects to the text with the defendant, from the first time that she reached out to me and texted me, nothing had been deleted. As far as John's text string, we might have had older text strings that were deleted, but that was what I gave him. What I gave the troopers was exactly when I captured everything is exactly, it is what it is. Everything that was on those phones was provided. Nothing was deleted.
Jackson pressed Higgins on whether he knew that federal regulations prohibit using one's public office for personal gain. Higgins said he was unaware of this regulation. He also revealed that he no longer possessed the phone he had in 2022, saying, quote, you've destroyed that phone, haven't you? Jackson said, no, I threw the phone away. Higgins replied, well, that's destroying the phone, isn't it? Jackson countered, to which Higgins responded, I had every right to do that. Higgins stated that he likely cut or broke the SIM card before disposing of the phone, but did not wipe the data from it. He confirmed receiving a notice on September 30th, 2022, preventing him from altering or destroying anything on his cell phone, although he switched phone carriers a number of days earlier. Let's take a look to that
you said,
testimony.
Look, I didn't do anything wrong in this. Because it looks like you and Ken Berkowitz were colluding to provide information to Brian Albert, correct?
Objection.
Is that correct?
Absolutely not correct. That's wrong.
You knew that was going to look like collusion, which is why you said, look, I didn't do anything wrong in this.
Objection.
Objection sustained.
Mr. Higgins, if you wanted to get rid of, and you've dealt with cell phones and electronic devices in your career many, many times, correct?
Over my career, yes.
You've probably even written search warrants for them, things of that nature, right?
Yes.
If you wanted to destroy evidence on your cell phone, what kind of steps might you take to do that?
Objection.
If you wanted to just get rid of information on your cell phone that would be unrecoverable, what steps might you take?
Objection.
System.
Do you know how to get rid of information on your cell phone?
Objection.
That's allowed. You can answer that.
Do I know how to get rid of information? I mean, I think there's different ways you could wipe your phone.
Anything else?
You could wipe your phone. Factory reset.
Factory reset might be one, wiping your phone, taking the SIM card out.
I don't know that the SIM card's gonna take information that's on the phone out.
So that might be one avenue. You could break the SIM card in half or snap it, correct?
It could, yes.
You know the SIM card stores an enormous amount of data. The phone's just a brick, right?
No, I don't know that.
Okay. You could also, if you take the SIM card out, you just get rid of the phone somehow, right? Just destroy it.
Yes.
Might even consult with some kind of an expert to help learn how to permanently erase things from a phone, like a forensics expert, for instance.
Objection.
Sustained.
Oops.
On Saturday, January 29th, you spent much of the morning, at Brian Albert's house, and then the rest of the day, variously, at Kenton PD. You'd agree with that, correct?
No. You said I spent much of the morning at Brian Albert's house?
Correct. In other words, you went over there at whatever it was, 7:50, 8 o'clock, something like that, and then until about 9 o'clock.
No, I got over there around 7 o'clock, and I was there less than an hour. I wasn't there most of the day.
Okay,
I never went back there.
So you spent time at Brian Albert's house, then much of the rest of the day at Canton PD, correct?
Yes.
And then the very next day, that Sunday, you called a friend of yours, a guy named Matt Kelch, didn't you?
Yeah, he's my best friend, yes.
And he's a special agent with the FBI, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Was he then?
He's never been a special agent with the FBI. He's a special agent with ATF.
My mistake. I thought he was with the FBI. He's a federal special agent.
He's a coworker of mine, yes.
Which makes him a federal special agent, right?
An ATF agent, yes.
And does he work for or have access to the regional computer forensics lab?
Yes, he works over there.
Okay.
So, I mean, none of this looks very good by any stretch of the imagination.
No. If you've got friends in high places that know things and you might be in the crosshairs of an investigation, and you're consorting with that friend and getting rid of your phone, it's all looking really ugly right
and
now.
And it's like, are you, but I guess, what is the reason you're doing it? Are you doing this because you're trying to cover up a murder, or are you doing it because they're probably, you know, they're probably going to look at you and you might be revealing an affair?
Right.
You know,
and I'll be honest with you, I did not include any of the salacious text messages because I didn't think they were a big deal. Yes, they're a big deal in the case, but they really weren't that bad.
They were so monotonous. I mean, oh my God. I listened, exactly. I watched them the other night on Vinny's show, and I was just like, talk about two people who don't have game. And I'm not saying, and I'm not saying,
you guys are so bad at this.
I'm not saying I do by any means, but it's certainly, I'm a little bit better than what the fuck was going on there. Like, what do you mean? Do you like me?
Exactly.
I think I like you. Do you like me? What do you mean by that? I didn't say that. You started this. No, I started this. I like you. Do you like me? I think you're hot. You're hot. It's like, what are we, like, in fourth fucking grade here? Like, it was pathetic. Like, look, just fucking come out. Like,
yeah,
what
they may as well pass notes back and forth.
Oh, it was so, and it was just over and over the same shit. And it's just like, Jesus yep. Christ, just, you're all fucking adults. If you guys want to go sleep with each other, then go sleep with each other. Go, like, what do you, should I come over to your house? Are you, what are you saying you want me to do? I don't know what I'm saying I want you to do. It was just like,
it was terrible.
It was horrible. Like, I would be like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was like horrible. I would, if a friend showed me that and like, what do you think they want? I'm like, they want to fuck you is what they want. That's what they want. Why are you sitting over here going, I don't know what this means. You started, like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, in a pivotal moment, Jackson.
It was so bad. And that's the, I really do respect our listeners. I didn't want to put anybody through that because it was just awful.
It was. It really was just painful. In a pivotal moment, Jackson grilled Higgins about the late night phone calls between Brian Elbert and then Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz. Phone records indicated that Higgins and Elbert exchanged calls at 2:22 a.m. on January 29, 2022, when Higgins claimed he was asleep. Both men have testified that these calls were accidental butt dials. Jackson noted the suspicious timing occurring just hours before O'Keefe's body was discovered. Higgins insisted, I have no recollection of those phone calls. Is what he says. Let's take a listen to that testimony.
And it indicates that on January 29th, 2022, at 2:22 and 35 seconds, you received a call from Brian Elbert, duration of 1 second, correct?
Yes.
In other words, Brian Elbert called you at 2:22 and 35 seconds, but it looks like you missed the call, correct?
I see the 1 second call, yes.
There's a second call just below that. On the same date at 2:22 and 52 seconds from you to Brian Elbert. Do you see that one?
Yes.
And the duration of that call is 22 seconds, correct?
I see that, yes.
So 17 seconds after you missed a call, according to these records, from Brian Elbert, you called him back and there was a call lasting 22 seconds. Is that right?
That's what the records say.
May I approach?
Yes.
So the fact is, you were speaking to Brian Elbert in the middle of the night, approximately 3 hours before Mr. O'Keefe's body was found in his yard, correct?
No, that's not correct.
And that was 5 minutes before 2:27 a.m. when there was a Google search for how long to die in the cold, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
And then, of course, you lied about that under oath in that prior proceeding by saying, I don't remember this phone call.
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you, in fact, tell the truth at the prior proceeding when you said, I don't remember that phone call?
I always tell the truth.
Did you lie under oath, sir?
No, I did not.
Would you tell us if you did?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You acknowledge that there's a 22-second phone call in your phone records, correct?
That's what's reflected by the record.
And 22 seconds is quite an amount of time. Would you agree?
It's 22 seconds.
As a matter of fact, it's about this long, with the court's permission.
The court does not give permission. That's argument, Mr. Jackson.
If we were to count off 22 seconds That's an uncomfortably long time, is it not?
No.
It's long enough to have a conversation, isn't it?
I didn't have a conversation.
Is 22 seconds long enough to have a conversation?
No.
A human being can't have a conversation in 22 seconds?
Sure they could. I don't think it's anything of substance.
Okay, so that's my question. Is it 22 seconds long enough to have a conversation?
I don't agree with it, no.
Because you can't. It's like 50 words. I know that from writing scripts, and you know that too. Mm-hmm. No, 22 seconds is not very long to have a conversation. It's more like, I'm going to meet you over here. Okay, sounds good. Bye. You know, there's nothing you're going to get done in 22 seconds. And you're certainly not going to conspire to murder or like, let's get on the same page with this in 22 fucking seconds.
No.
So I completely disagree that there's any substance to the phone call. I mean, did they dial back and forth or something? Maybe, but was there anything of importance shared in that short of a time? No, you can't. I mean,
well, let me throw this out there, Tony. It could have said, hey, let's just meet somewhere and hash this out. I don't want to do this over the phone.
Let's talk
just
tomorrow.
Talk somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, right. You could do that. Yeah. Yeah.
But did they? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It seems insanely short periods of time for this to make any. Or you can be like, hello? Hello? Anybody there? And then you hang up. And then somebody calls the other person back and hello? Hello? And that could have been it as well. I don't know, but I don't think you're going to hash much out in 22 seconds. Jackson also highlighted Higgins' phone activity around the time Reed's SUV was brought to the Canton Police Department Sallyport. Video surveillance from the area at 5:36 a.m. was missing, and Higgins denied seeing any evidence in the garage. A testimony concluded Higgins remained firm in his denials. With more witness testimonies expected in the coming days, Reed's lawyers continue to assert that the conspiracy among witnesses and law enforcement responsible for John O'Keefe's death, challenging the prosecution's case against Reed. It's just going to keep getting more and more interesting. I just feel like a lot of people are covering for bad behavior, but I don't think anyone's necessarily covering for murder. And yeah. That's just kind of how I feel about most of this. There are certain actions that look bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's that. And
it's an ugly situation. I can't wait for them to wrap this up and see where they go with this. Cause I'm getting a little tired of it. They're just poking at whatever they think might work, and enough is enough. I don't think she did it. I think she did it, but I don't think she was in her right mind.
I don't think she knows she did it.
And I don't think it's a conspiracy.
I think she did it. I don't think she knows she did it. I think, or if she does, she's trying to get off. But I don't think it was murder. I don't think it was intentional. I think it's all an accident. And all these people's lives in the process have gotten destroyed. And it's really just a sad state of affairs that this has all fallen into. But there's still more to come, and we'll, of course, bring it all right here.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.